some lady asks me, what does it mean to be born again? You know, in John 3 and verses 3 and 7, we see Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, that is, he's speaking to Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus to learn of the Lord. But Jesus told him that he first must be born again. And that's when God regenerates the individual who repents. It's a miracle of God, the miracle of regeneration, which is synonymous with being born again. And he does a whole transformation of the innermost heart of the individual. Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, personally, I use this born again term. I hold it forward in any kind of ministry that I'm doing. And, you know, the more you minister, as many of you know, that you find where you could have a 20, 30, or 60-minute conversation with somebody, maybe on some religious issue, and then you realize, wait a minute, this person isn't even saved. That's why you could save a lot of time by asking them if they're born again. Now, genuinely asking them with authentic concern for them, because nothing else really matters. You're not in the kingdom of Christ. And in most cases that we discuss with people, it's religious people of one flavor or the other, but all they are is a sinner with a religion. Just like Nicodemus, who was a Jew, he was simply a sinner with a religion. And so he was going to the same hell as anybody else that's religious and not born again. And he cannot understand Christ or his teachings without being born again. And that's what we see here when Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the beginning, the first verse, beginning there of John 3, and he's seeking knowledge. He's seeking to learn of the Lord. And Jesus, and it might even seem disjointed or out of place, tells him that he must be born again. This is an absolute for salvation. And it only happens when somebody hearkens to the Lord, drawing them, and they repent, they choose to repent, they turn their life to God away from their old life, and they give their life to God, if you will. They repent and receive Christ. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And repentance. Repentance and receiving Jesus. When you're ministering, I would encourage you as a disciple of Jesus to remember the two R's. Repentance, that's the first word of the gospel. Here in Mexico, we tell people in Spanish, you have to repent and receive Christ. Hell is forever. No, no, no. Please don't go there, is what I tell them. You have to repent. Hoy, I tell them today, arrepentirse y recibir Cristo. In other words, repent and receive Christ today. And, you know, these people are just so like a sponge for the gospel. They are so hungry. That's kind of another story, but you can check out what's going on Mission Mexico or Mexico Mission on safeguardyoursoul.com. On the homepage and every other page also, you'll see a graphic. Click there and you'll get all the posts on the exciting things God is doing here in Mexico in the lives of so many people. And the momentum just continues to grow with indigenous disciples of Jesus who are daily missionaries. They go out every day and they minister. We're able to fuel them with tracks and all kinds of other support. It's a blessing. Check it out on safeguardyoursoul.com. Mexico Mission. Okay, so it's an unfathomable blessing from God that we can know him personally and for him to know us as one of his own. John 17:3, Jesus tells us the very reason why he created us, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is life eternal. This is the whole reason for eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So this doesn't come by religion. You know, as a Catholic, I grew up and I was just a sinner with a religion. My sins weren't forgiven until I heard the gospel at 22 years old and responded, was blessed to respond in repentance and faith in Christ. So bowing to idols is soul damning. And if you make your religion your idol, then you're going to be damned to hell. That's an idol. God has to be first. And God says right here in John 3, verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, at first sight, the answer of the Lord Jesus does not seem to be connected with what Nicodemus had to say. Or just said, our Lord is saying, Nicodemus, you have to come to me for teaching, but what you really need is to be born again. That is, that's where it all begins. You must be born again. You must be born of God, as the scripture says, mostly and maybe exclusively by John the Apostle. You must be born of God. Otherwise, you cannot see, you cannot perceive and learn of the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be born again. And then except a man be born again, he says he cannot see, he cannot perceive the truth of the kingdom of God. And so when you start talking to somebody and I start, you know, we might want to kind of back up a little bit and first of all, pray to be loving and wise and to be most powerfully used of the Lord to help them. And short of being born again, they are not in the kingdom of Christ. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. That would also be called the kingdom of light. Jesus said he was the light of the world, John 8:12, or the kingdom of darkness. And it's difficult sometimes because you can get sideswiped, sidetracked, because you got somebody that's using scripture or misusing it and strongly believing their religious beliefs. But I always like to ask them, are you born again? And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that actually means here in a minute. Are you born again? We want to ask them this in a loving way, so that we can help them, not alienate them. And so if they can't say, yes, I am born again, and then I ask them, if you don't mind, would you mind giving a testimony of how Jesus has saved you? And if they can't answer these questions, you're qualifying things and you're figuring out where this person is, truly is, so that you can help them. And in many cases, you're going to find that people are not born again. Even within the professing realm of modern Christianity, you have so many people who are not born again. Now, we could sit here and blame all kinds of things, but that's not what's most important on our topic today. But it is to help them realize you got to repent. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish and receive Christ. The two R's I mentioned earlier, Luke 13:3 and John 1:12, two R's, and in this order, repent and receive Christ. Now, we could say it in two different ways, condemningly talking at them. Or we could say, God calls us, he commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn to him, realizing we're sinners, admitting that we have sinned against him, and to receive Christ, to be saved and have the forgiveness of all of our sins. And that's when God does the miracle of regeneration. Now, somebody might say, what are you talking about, regeneration? Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, not by works of righteousness, he says, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's a work of God, a miracle of God that he does inside of a person. It's the washing of regeneration. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus here in this passage in John 3, 1 through 8, our main passage today, speaks about the two births. The first birth is when you're born of water, when the water breaks in your mother's womb and you come out. That's the first birth. This is the only way this passage can be rightly divided. If you read it, you'll see that. John 3, 1 through 8. But then you've got to be born again to be in the kingdom of Christ. You've got to have a spiritual rebirth where God comes in and completely transforms and renovates, regenerates your inner man, which was born after Adam. Death passed upon all men, Romans 5, right? Verse 12, also verse 18 and 19. We've been born in sin like Adam. David said in Psalms, in sin did my mother conceive me. And then he says, after speaking of us being regenerated, saved by the mercy of God, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, so again, we got born again or regenerated, regeneration. translation here, that word, justified by grace right here in verse 7. And then we have the hope of eternal life. So Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. We all had, if you're listening to this, you had a birth in the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, there's another phrase of Scripture, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You have to have a spiritual rebirth. Then he goes into talking about, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? In other words, you cannot understand the things of the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born of God, you've been regenerated and brought into his kingdom as you repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, which things also, he's speaking of the spirit of the world and the spirit of God, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us or to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing or compiling, collating spiritual things with spiritual, scripture with scripture, which we have from the Holy Spirit on the pages of Holy Writ. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, just like was the case with Nicodemus, because he wasn't yet born again. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, now, born again, what does that mean? One commentator, Adam Clark, says the following. I found this to be profound on being born again. The birth for which Christ contends is from above. By the agency of the Holy Spirit, every man must have two births, one from heaven and the other from the earth, one of his body, the other of his soul. Without the first, he cannot see nor enjoy this world. Without the last, he cannot see nor enjoy the kingdom of God. As there is an absolute necessity that a child should be born into the world, that he may see its light, contemplate its glories, and enjoy its good, so there is an absolute necessity that the soul should be brought out of its state of darkness and sin through the light and the power of the grace of Christ, that it may be able to see or to discern the glories and excellencies of the kingdom of Christ here and be prepared for the enjoyment of the kingdom of glory hereafter or forever. The Jews had some general notion of the new birth, but like many among Christians today, they put the acts of proselytizing, baptism, etc., in place of the Holy Spirit and his influence, and I would add his regenerational power. They acknowledged that a man must be born again, but they made that new birth to consist in profession, confession, and external washing. So in other words, they made it into a religion, which we see this today. The Catholic Church is just one of many examples. I would say this, I go on record once again to say all organized religion is absolutely corrupt. That is self-evident to the true born-again believer who walks with Christ. He's anchored and knit together and grounded in Christ, not his church, or how well his pastor teaches the Bible, or how well the band sounds on Sunday morning. No, he's daily and 24/7 rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. The commentator finishes, he says, the new birth, which is here spoken of, comprehends not only what is termed justification or pardon, but also sanctification or holiness. Sin must be pardoned and the impurity of the heart washed away before any soul can possibly enter into the kingdom of God. As this new birth implies, the renewing of the whole soul in righteousness and true holiness. It is not a matter that may be dispensed with. Heaven is a place of holiness, and nothing but what is like itself can ever enter into it. In other words, nobody that is not made holy by the miracle of God, called being born again, regeneration, can enter into the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of God in heaven. He's holy, holy, holy. And he's provided everything possible and that's needed through Christ, the perfect sacrifice of Christ, for us to be born again, to be set apart unto him. Because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, but one that is holy and without any blemish of sin. We read at the end of Ephesians chapter 5. Now, how do we know that we or somebody else is actually born again? Remember, Jesus said that we are to know people, that means discern them, by their fruit. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes the following. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." If you're in Christ, you are born again. You repented and received Christ. When he drew you to himself, you said, "Yes, Lord." And you surrendered your life. You repented and received him. Now you're in Christ. Now you're born again. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." See, when you're born again, your life is completely changed. All of the old stuff is passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You are a new creature in Christ. And my friend, if you're listening and you've never been completely changed from the inside out, something only God can do, then God's calling you. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Don't go find a religion. All of the religions have their fairy tale story. "Well, we're the original and we're the best because of this, 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 and this." It's kind of like people that are selling stuff out there. Of course, they're going to tell you their product is the best, and here's why. Well, you know, my grandpa used to always talk about how gullible people are and how we hear the term selling ice to an Eskimo. And so we have to be careful of the gullibility and truly choose to turn to the Lord himself. God doesn't save anybody through religion. He saves them when they come to the Redeemer, Christ, and then he bestows his righteousness upon them as a free gift of God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And when you repent and receive Christ, you're saved by the grace of God, and your life is going to be changed from the inside out. Then he says in verse 10 that God has ordained. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." See, you're going to see a change on the inside first. God always works from the inside out. Religion works from the outside, and it's not able to work within because it's not the truth. And the people aren't born again. Doing good works will save no one. And yet, if you're saved by grace through faith, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you will manifest that salvation of Christ, if it's real, by doing good works. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Titus 3:8 says that we are to maintain good works. Anybody who has been born again and is walking with Christ in vital union with him is producing the fruit of good works. They obey the Great Commission of Christ. They're busy about the Lord's business. I'm not talking about people that just go to church. That's not the Great Commission. That's not fulfilling it. In most cases, people are just helping some shyster build his church business. They're not learning to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus every day as Jesus commanded. See, old things are passed away. All things have become new because you've been to the cross. And now that you're born again, you're to take up the cross every day to follow Jesus. That's an essential. Luke 9:23-24. Notice it says now that old things have passed away and all things have become new and all things are of God. They're no longer of you. They are of God. Your whole life is about pleasing God and not yourself. If you're going to follow him, otherwise you're not following him, you must deny yourself, disown yourself, put God first, take up your cross daily, it's daily or it's not at all, and follow Jesus now that you're born again. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18. We're talking about how you know you're born again. Well, I go to church. Well, that doesn't mean you're born again. Most people who go to church, the vast majority, 90-something percent, are not born again. They're not saved. And if they ever were, many of them have backslidden since then. There's a scripture right here in this book, 2 Corinthians 6, the next chapter. Come out from among them, be ye separate. We have to come out from the false churches, from the mere form of godliness, and have an authentic walk with God by, first of all, repenting and reading the King James Bible every day and following Christ according to it. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to help others to be reconciled to Christ. I ministered to a lady named Maria LaLuz yesterday, and she immediately told me she's born again, and you could see it. Her face was bright. Her eyes were wide open, and she was looking straight into the light of Christ in me, and I was looking at the light of Christ in her. You know what I'm talking about, because you don't get that kind of reaction from lost people that you're trying to help. You see darkness and shame and guilt, and that's why you're trying to help them. But anyway, so she immediately lit up. It looks like she was already pretty lit up. Let your light so shine before men, right? The light of Christ is in you. And she immediately wanted a bunch of the tracts to pass out. So I gave her, I don't know, at least probably 50, 100 or more, and we're in touch. So now I'm going to be replenishing the supply. And this is where your prayers come in, saints, because in the natural, we run on fumes. That's not a complaint so much as just sharing the reality. So we definitely need more tracts printed, and we just got 10,000 printed. I don't even think it's been 3 weeks. It's probably been 2 weeks since I picked those up, and almost all of them are gone now. So you guys pray, please. Okay, so then he says, we're ambassadors for Christ in verse 20. So that's what you're going to see in the life of a true born-again Christian. They're concerned for the souls of others. They don't live a consumeristic lifestyle. They're born again. They're about the Father's business. They are enduring, continuing, abiding in Christ. And he's producing fruit, more fruit and much fruit in their lives. And fruit that remains. John 15. So if you are born again, you are a changed person from the inside out. You now desire to do God's will and not your own. And you're learning the need for the daily cross to walk a crucified life. So self is vanquished and crucified. Self is dead and buried, and you're being raised up in the power of Christ. You're born again, and you're walking out. You're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and don't you love what it says, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi, work out your own salvation. Notice he didn't say work for, no, work out, walk it out. Walk out, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's a command. May God quicken each of us, you that are listening to this message, with the holy fear of God, like David prayed, unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. So we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you that are born again. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Aren't you glad that as we walk with Christ, that God is working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure? What a blessing. So let us remember these biblical words, saints. Born again, as Bible. Born of God, 1 John 4:7. And regeneration, that's Titus 3. We read that a minute ago. New creature, or new creation in Christ, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18, just a moment ago, where we are a new creature. We read in verse 17, we've been reconciled to God, verse 18. Okay, how about born again? Born of God actually appears. It's the same as born again. Born of God appears 6 times in God's word, and all are found in the book of 1 John. Here's one example, 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God, notice the phrase, born of God, you're born again, doth not commit sin or continue in sin, for his seed, the seed of the word, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He can't live in sin, otherwise he will fall away. The book of Jude promises us that we can be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. These are people that were once saved. The book of Jude is all about apostates, those who departed from the faith, as 1 Timothy 4:1 says, is possible. The Apostle Paul, Galatians 5:4, says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, you've backslidden. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. That meant they were in grace previously, but they are now fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. We've got a message on Safeguard Your Soul as we come in for a landing about whether or not a born-again believer can lose that, they can backslide. Of course they can. It's titled, Can a Born-Again Man Be Unborn Again? Yes, absolutely. You can go back into sin and you will be alienated from God if you do, because God is holy, 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 and you're not going to abide in a relationship with Him who is holy, holy, holy without walking with Him. And when you walk with Him, you are overcoming sin, even as He forgave all your sins the moment you were born again, the moment you repented and received Christ. He didn't give you a license to go live in sin again. Now that the Lord has saved you, He requires that you endure to the end of your life to be saved. Matthew 10:22 and 24:13, etc. Jesus taught of those who are in Him that if they don't remain in Him, they do not continue and endure and walk with Him to the end, they are going to be cut off and cast into the fire. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. As He saved us and thereafter, the Lord did not give any of His children the license to live in sin.
No, He gave you the cross and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to overcome all sin. And that's what will happen if you truly walk with God. If you're still living in sin, then you have to repent again. You have to return to the Lord. We were talking about the churches today. They're never going to tell you to repent.
Regrettably, they're not going to tell you that it's required by God of you that you repent and that you walk with Jesus in the crucified life daily. To walk with Jesus, to have a relationship with Him, you must be
born again and crucified with Christ. Romans 6, he that is dead is freed from sin. You got to be dead and buried with Christ, and He's going to raise you up, and you're going to be victorious. I didn't say you weren't going to be tempted or struggle, but you're going to find the victory in the cross life after being born again. We got a large category on the daily cross. Just look up daily cross in the drop-down menu, safeguardyoursoul.com. Okay, how do we know we're born again or somebody else is born again? 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone, notice everyone that is born of God or born again and knoweth God loves his neighbor. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's how we know if we're saved, first off, and whether or not those around us are saved. If they don't love the body of Christ, they're not of God. Amen. Those who walk with Christ, they're born of God, walk in His love toward others. Because when you're born again, the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? The first of the nine dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's being produced in your life. Okay, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Again, if you're born again, you love all other born again Christians. Those who repent and believe upon Christ are born again, and they love all other of Christ's saints, just like Maria LaLuz and also Brother Juan and Sister Maria. They're passing out hundreds of tracts per day. When we met on each of those three occasions, it was an immediate combustion, if you will, or a love of God in each of us for one another. And that's what happens with you when you're out in the world and you meet a born-again saint and you bear witness, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you and they are in Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the only way to overcome the world. And as Jesus told told Nicodemus, the only way to understand the things of God, the kingdom of God. Those who are born of God overcome this fallen world. By present and perpetual faith, they, quote, overcome the world, unquote. Okay, one more, 1 John 5:18, before we close. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, or does not live in sin, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He stays right with God. He walks holy. And that wicked one toucheth him not. So those that are, quote, born of God do not live in sin. Rather, they keep themselves from sin. They overcome through the blood of a lamb and his instructions to deny self, take up the cross, and follow him so that he can raise or resurrect them up every day into the victory. That's how we overcome sin and live a life of fruitful service to the Lord. So this is accomplished by what we read in 1 John 1 and 2, which spells out the walk of the true disciple. I want you to read that, my friends. Now, as we close here, may God bless each disciple of Jesus today to abide in vital union with Christ and in Christ by walking crucified and raised up by him. That's what Scripture teaches for every true disciple of Christ. May the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, be abundantly produced in the life of every saint of Jesus. May it be 100-fold, dear Lord, according to John 15. If you have been drawn in by Christ, friend, and have repented and have received Christ and are born again, you are bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are his. Might this be a good moment to pause and to tell Jesus just how much you love him? And what a blessing. In fact, before we pray, let me say this. We have a category called Born Again. Drop down menu, safeguardyoursoul.com. Some great stuff on being born again, including the Born Again book, which has led many, many to Jesus. It's a pocket-sized book. It's absolutely hard to put down. It's very dynamic. It absolutely draws in the reader and keeps their attention all the way to the end. It's a small book called the Born Again book. You can find it on the store page, safeguardyoursoul.com, or on Amazon. And we do have a post that says, what does it mean to be a new creature in Christ? Another one, born again. What does that mean? And one more, born again, says who? These are fantastic biblical studies, messages on being born again and what that means, etc. So let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, you found and you saved us into your eternal kingdom by way of the precious blood of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and by no good of our own. Right now, Lord, we make this personal and we say, I stop my life right now and I give you praise and thanksgiving for the gift and the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ that no one else could accomplish except him. Lord, I love you. I am no longer my own, but I'm yours. I am crucified with Christ. Please work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure from this moment forward. I am all yours, Lord, and I know you are all mine. Please fill this vessel that you have found and saved with your Holy Ghost, and please use me to help bring others to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of
of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.